This meeting is When at the End of the Road. Our first speaker is Yvette. She's from Delaware. I give you Yvette.
My name is Yvette, and I'm an addict. I thank God for being at another Narcotics Anonymous meeting. For that, I am truly grateful. I thank this convention committee for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic with At the End of the Road. And I need to say that it is an honor and a privilege to be by the side of my dear friend, Easy, who I truly love and appreciate. When at the end of the road, when we can when we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, when there is nothing else to do, what is there left to do? Surrender is the key. You know, I thought about being at my ends, meeting my ends, and I've had a lot of ends, and I'm a little twisted right now because a month ago, I faced another end, but at every end, it's a beginning, okay? I got to go through something to reach an end to start a new beginning, and we don't get to choose when the beginning start and when the end ends. So, I was reluctant, I was angry, I was resentful. I woke up one day after finding that there was nothing else to do but to grab a belt and whoop my child's behind. I had came face to face with the state trooper, DHS, Child Protective Services. Now, in my eyes, the illusion that I created for myself was that I was a good parent, that I would lay down my life, and I still will, for my family. But there are guidelines and rules, and I'm telling you, like, there are guidelines and rules and newly found values and beliefs that I live by. See, I'm no longer fighting not being who my mother was and who the neighbor was or who they say I should be. I'm trying to be the best person that I can be. And the true value in me is being who I am and not pretending to be anything different. So my child is 11 years old. And at the time, she felt like she wanted to chart her own course at 11 by smacking her teeth, rolling her eyes, and sashaying her behind in my house at me. Now, that is something that I couldn't swallow. For somebody else, maybe that's all right for you. But when I say come here, you need to get it moving. You need to bring reel it on in. So when there was nothing else to do, because mind you, I've gone to parenting class and I wasn't told by a court that I needed to go. I freely sought outside help because I understand the type of beast of childhood that I deal with today. And for any reason, I would not want to be in a child's shoes today. It is hard. It's even hard being in an adult's shoes today. Being grown and having to grow up, thinking that you know all the answers, but being faced with many bitter truths about what is and what isn't. So I put my hands on her. I beat her. Okay? That was the only thing that was left for me to do. Obsession. This common illness or disorder is called addiction. We know the two things that make up true addiction, obsession and compulsion. Obsession, that fixed idea that takes us back time and time again to that particular drug, whoop our ass, or some substitute, get a belt, get a stitch into it, to recapture the ease I need to be in control and comfort that I once knew. Okay? say, compulsion, once having had started whooping her ass, the process with one fix, it felt good. It felt good. I'm not saying to act up because I had restrained for a year trying to practice new skills. That's what recovery teaches us, to practice new skills, not to jump off the edge with the old information. Try something new and see if it works for you. But I'm sorry, rationalizing and justifying with a 10-year-old ain't working. So I found myself in the compulsion state, not giving myself any other choices. So the next day she went to school and she directly said, I need ice for my arms. Oh, yeah. Now, she didn't know anything about betrayal. She didn't know. We don't get to choose the punishment when it comes down the line. All I could do was stand and say, God, your perfect will be done, because I know that I've done my best in institution and true values and morals in raising this child. So guess what? They showed up. They called me from work and they said, you know what, Miss Rouse, you need to come home. We got to stay true for you and your husband. Okay, we got Child Protective Services and we need to meet with you. I said, I'm on my way. Because after doing the fourth and fifth step, I no longer have to hide behind phony images that I think will try to fool people. Or after having the sixth and seventh step, the only thing that I can do is stand up straight and firm and say, here I am, and yes, I did. After having an 11th step and recognizing no matter what I do, God has my back no matter what, no matter how the outcome. Well, you know, they showed up and I said, I'm happy you came. You listen, we can look at it as a curse or a blessing. I need to look at me. Maybe there's something else that I need to learn about parenting. Well, guess what? They gave me a book. And I need to say, they need to give all us parents this book before we pop their asses out. Let's keep it real. And I'm serious, because in the book, just like any other book, the information doesn't jump into you by osmosis. You got to read it and apply it and say, guess what? There's only four things you need to do. Give them medical insurance, feed them, clothe them, and shelter. Anything outside of that is a blessing. It's your stuff. I said, oh, so I had once again imposing my own will, emotional blackmail. The child got everything from this and that and that and that to feed my ego. She never asked for it when at the end of the room. She never asked for the things to make her operate. She was willing to operate without the things anyway. The things were just to fuel my ego based on the economic value that I could bring to the table. Baby, I got a big mouth. I'm doing the best that I can under the circumstances. If we if we accept ourselves and the world exactly as it is, not try to alter the world to us, but alter us to the world. We learn that conflicts are a part of reality. I needed a reality check. I needed to restructure my operating skills. Because me saying that I love you is not based on the dollar sign that I put on your back or in your pocket. Me saying that I love you is, child, did you do this and I'm going to follow up behind you? Did you wash today? Come here. Let me see that you got deodorant on. Put your clothes out for the next day on the ironing board. And I'm coming up to check. We need, listen, my sponsor, did you write? Produce it. Because it's going to show in how you live. If you don't put on deodorant, it's going to show. You're going to be funky. And you're going to face the embarrassment of the funk no matter what you do. So I said to them, I said, listen, no matter where she goes, no matter where I go, and it's a true fact, I wish I would have listened to my mom. And every time through my ninth step experience, I go to my mother and I said, I'm so sorry. I now understand. I'm getting my own kick in the ass. I truly, truly apologize for all the hell that I caused. I'm truly getting it. I'm getting the lesson. Because no matter where she goes and no matter where I go in life, if I don't accept it once it's first presented, it's going to present itself again and I'm going to be faced with the same dilemma. The same embarrassment. Now, I can alter it as many times as it comes around, no matter what is, but the ending is always the same. Jails, institutions, or death. So I found myself being, they said, well, we're going to pre-arrest you. What the hell? Either you want to arrest me or not. There ain't no such thing as pre-arrest. When you go before the judge, just ask them for one. So they said they was going to pre-arrest me. My ego checked in when at the end of the road. I needed a re-up on everything that I learned to sustain this hit. Because once my arrogance takes hold, there's no reeling me back. I was caught up in, I'm 15 years clean, 40 years old, and I gotta wait till I get here to catch a charge? I couldn't see past. The child may be in crisis, and this ain't about you. I gotta, now grant you, I've done many things that constitute that I should be under the jail. But my ego checked in. Even through the humility, even through my praying to God, my ego checked in and said, I gotta wait to get here to take this hit. I'm angry. No compassion. None whatsoever. Ingrate. And I said, take her. She wanna tell, take her. That's not what I wanted. Because I want my daughter in my presence. I want to give her all the things that, listen, I can possibly give her. I'm not a cop-out or sell-out parent. I'm a ride or die. I'll lay it down and all, just tell me, I'll go on the front line for you. Nothing matters. But don't sell me down the river before I get a shot to just try to work it out. So I went to my husband and I just cried. Things begin to change. I began to change. I was willing to do something different the way I responded. And each day I got up, I asked God to soften my heart when at the end, I'm at the end. God, soften my heart so therefore I can communicate with this child because she doesn't deserve the emotional, mental punishment. Because we can punish folks mentally without even giving a verbal sanction. And what we do, harm is something said, left unsaid, done, left undone. What happened to a simple meat? All right, can you hear me? Your will, not mine, be done. Can you hear me? So what happened was that I was willing to reposition the way I interacted. And my interactions aren't based on what I could give you and what I get in return. It is the lessons, the life lessons that you will get to carry on your personal journey. Like, baby, no matter where you go, you're going to have to take a bath. No matter where you go, you're going to have to clean up. So they told me they wanted to, I had to wait for the state's attorney general to press charges on me, and here go the hit again when at the end of the road I needed to call them to find out what they was going to charge me. What I said, I ain't never heard such after the pre-arrest. Now I got to call you to find out what you want to charge me with. This is some bullshit. I got a bag, but I got a sponsor that says you may, through our inability to accept our own personal responsibility, because they could have locked you up on the spot and removed her from the house immediately. Through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we create our own problems. You could be creating a mess by not following good orderly direction. Just pick up the phone and call. That is the only requirement. You have no control of, see, you're trying to control what they want to say on the other line, so your chump ass not calling anyway. Where's your God? So I said, okay, I'm going to call, and I'm going to bring it up to date. Just the other day, I got a call, and I got a letter in the mail that said that they were closing the case. They couldn't find any signs of abuse. That I'm not going to be put on a child registry for 3 years of my life. But am I willing to go back to the way I used to live? I need to let go of my old playmates, playthings, the old information, the fractured personality. I need to let go of personality changes, what I really need in encountering adolescence. Because my disease flourishes through the people closest to me. And guess what? I'm the last person to see my disease when it's active, when I'm dealing with matters of the heart. I feel like my best is my best, but my best may be the actual defect that's creating the major problem. And I may just need to step aside and allow God to be God and stop trying to take control of the driver's seat and allow her to hit her bottom just like I hit my bottom and just be that listening ear. If I can be the listening ear for you, why can't I be the listening ear for her? Because it ain't easy. We have learned that if isolation isn't practical, it isn't. We have learned that if a solution isn't practical, it isn't spiritual. In the past, we made simple situations into problems. We made mountains out of molehills. It ain't that deep. And guess what? I ain't the only one going through Child Protective Services or the police or bills or living or life. I ain't the only one that's faced with some days seemingly hopeless dilemmas. I'm not the only one taking a spiritual hit and going through spiritual warfare after I done re-upped as best as I could to get my spirit in check and get hit and get knocked off the mark. I'm not the only one taking a hit. Because if I could take the hit when I was out there using, I damn sure can sustain life's initial hits today. Because guess what? Going here today, going tomorrow. And guess what? I don't get to decide when tomorrow is going to show up. I just need to keep doing the work while I'm in it. And when tomorrow eventually shows up, I can thank God like I'm thanking God right now for the reprieve, for the relief to the next storm. Because your wife told me, Harold P., that what I'm in line for today and what I'm dealing with today ain't for today. It's to get me in check for what's coming down the line. And I couldn't understand the dynamics of what Mita was telling me then, but I'm sure enough seeing it now. And I carry that type of information with me no matter where I go and no matter what I do, and I don't cop out. I ran to my greatest source of strength and comfort. It was God and my mama. And I got in front of my mama and I said, listen, I don't know, what else is it for me to do? She said, baby, you stand. You stand. You beat her. She probably deserved it. You can't run from this one. You stand. It will be over before you know it. But guess what? On your last breath, you can say you were the best mother that child ever had. And it ain't going to change one thing. You her mother. No matter what go down, you can't sever from that. The bottom line is you're her mother. And whether she gets the guidance from you, because you sure enough didn't take it from me, you had to go to those folks. She called y'all those folks. You still hanging out with them folks? You still going to them meetings, hugging all up on them? Letting them, you know they ain't all that, you know they iffy. I said, yeah, true, I'm iffy too. But they the best I got. They my best defense against me killing myself. They my best defense against a relapse. And I'm not talking just the chemical relapse. I'm talking that physical, that mental, that spiritual sickness that I deal with. Just for today talks about we have a physical, mental, and we suffer. We suffer from a physical, mental, and spiritual sickness. So y'all are my best slow drip against my sickness. Because who else can I call besides God? God is expressed through another recovering addict. Who can I call to get the extension when I don't believe that he's going to pull me through on this one? Who can I call and cry my eyes out and say that I just don't understand and I'm praying to God and I'm not getting the answer? I'm calling the A-team. I'm serious. If you don't have an A-team, God bless you. I'm telling you, I'm calling my spiritually equipped team because I need some. Listen, we coming to drag your crazy ass out of there. We coming to hold your hand. It's going to be all right. You ain't the only one. Let me tell you about what I did. So come on out of the self-loathing and self-esteem and the triangle that you created for yourself and stop thinking that life's supposed to give you everything on a silver platter, spoiled person. Because I'm dealing with the only child, and I am my only child. So who better to relate? I forgot what I suffered from. When it's that close, we forget what we suffer from, and we inflict the same type of traumatic circumstances on those closest to us because we forget that what we suffer from. We know that we are powerless over the disease of addiction and that it is incurable, progressive, and fatal, if not arrested. It gets worse until we die. We cannot deal with the obsession and compulsion. The only alternative is to stop using and start learning how to live. When we are willing to follow this course of action and take advantage of the help, the 18, Narcotics Anonymous, and God, of the help available to us, a whole new life is possible. My family and I, through my family, are experiencing a new way of living in this situation, because I don't want to have to face this one again. But if I do, I will be well equipped again to deal with it. In this way, we do recover. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Hi, family. I'm still Linda T, and I'm from, well, never mind where I'm from. I'm an addict. I was going to say the NYC, but I'm an addict. And let's thank this sister for a wonderful message of recovery when at the end of the road. Our next speaker is Easy, and he's from New York, too.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah, hi, I'm an addict. My name is Easy. Can y'all hear me? Because I don't want y'all screaming at me. First, I want to thank God, right, for first getting us here safely last night, and for waking me up this morning, and second, for being clean. I want to thank Yvette for starting this thing off. I just need to say I'm nervous. You know, I did a marketing presentation at my school. They said you shouldn't say that, you know, but I can say that here. You know, I'm nervous, and I'm always nervous. You know, all my friends is here. I like turned this convention down about the last 3 years, I believe. I ain't want to come. I ain't too thrilled with all this speaking shit no more. But I Eric is so persistent. You know, be sitting in my living room trying to watch TV, fucking with me, you know. Come on down, and what time you want to share, and, you know, he got me here, man. You know, he got me here, man, and he got me on a good topic. You know, it's a good topic, especially when you've been here a minute and you can't tell the crack story on this topic after you've been here a minute. You know, because it's real easy to do the end of the road crack story. You know. That's an easy hit. And because, see, you know, it's difficult, right, to do an end of the road clean story, because we still live our lives based on what people think about us. So it's real hard to come in here and to let your guard down again and allow people to know that you're still at the end of the road. You know, and I've been thinking about this thing, right? Because, you know, I've been reading this shit over and over, and I'm like, damn, this shit is kind of deep. Because it talks about when at the end of the road, right? Now, if I'm at the end of the road, if this the end of the road right here, and like ain't nothing over there, but the things say we at the end of the road, and then we go on. So if you at the end of the road and you go on, you can't do nothing but drop, right? And it say, we find that we can no longer function. They said that shit in the beginning of the book, right? It say, we find that we can no longer function as human beings. I mean, I'm not using drugs, right? And I still can't function as human beings. You know, this thing getting kind of deep. And I'm going to tell since the fuck I came. You know, I'm going to tell. I'm going to go ahead and share. What the fuck? I'll argue with Teresa later. it said we all face the same dilemma. Now, I've been reading that word for a few years, right? And you need to know, just in case you ain't do the work, I did it for you. A dilemma is not a situation. You know, it's not no issue. It's a problem. You know? You need to understand what a dilemma is. It's a problem, right? That gives you two or three choices, two or three ways out, right? And each way out is fucked up. I'm trying to tell you something, man. You know, any way you choose is a fucked up way to go. I don't know, anybody ever stole anybody's shit and smoked it? And then you knew, like, you can't go down this block. And I'm trying to help you, you know, and you can't. Either way you go, you're going to catch a bad one, right? And that's what this thing is talking about, man. Either way I go, if I keep on doing the shit that I'm doing, I don't know what fry your chicken. That ain't my story. I don't give a fuck what's frying your chicken. I need to talk about what fry my chicken, you know, because believe me, it didn't say some of us. It said we all. So I mean every last one of you motherfuckers. Right? Yeah, every last one of y'all gonna get to the end of the road and without smoking nothing. And gonna be faced with the same dilemma that I'm faced with. Right? Either go on like you know what the fuck you're doing. Yeah, I want to listen, man, I don't want to let y'all know that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm from Bushwick, Bed-Stuy. There's no fucking way I'm going to let you know that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm going to pretend. I'm going to front. I'm going to show you some bullshit to try to make you believe something that's not true. I stood here, fuck around, and got three steps and two traditions, and it said, you know what, it's time to get married. That's what it said. Let's get married. No, don't get it twisted. I'm happily motherfucking married. I have a great family. But I also got a disease that says, what the fuck? You got married, I didn't. Tape gonna be all over the fucking country, ain't it? Cause Teresa be having easy marathons on the way to work. I be calling up, she be mad. I don't even know what the fuck she mad about. She be mad about a tape from 2006. Yeah. God damn, I ain't did nothing, you know. I try to bring me, man, if I'm gonna come, man. I ain't got this thing, man. You know, like, my life is so motherfucking good, it's scary. You know, my life is so good, it's scary, man. And a lot of time, you be at the end of the road, but this thing inside you say, what if? You know, this thing inside you say, what if? If only. And just one more time. You know, just one more time. Go back, it's going to be different. And every time I went back, you know what? It was different. It was worse. You know? Your ex is your ex for a reason. And not to say nothing bad about nobody. That ain't why I'm here. I'm here to talk about me. And a lot of times I forget. And like I said, I don't know what fried chicken, but if you forget, you're doomed to repeat. You understand what I'm saying? All we think is something, you know, I hate my disease because I can't see what the fuck I got. I can only see it when I ain't got it. You got to understand what I'm talking about. If I ain't got it and I want it, then I can see it. Then once I get it, I ain't fucking want it no more. And why do I have to get something to realize that I don't even want it? And see, the thing that scares me is my disease called addiction. I will lie. I will tell you a lie in a heartbeat. I know who the fuck I am. I'm not clueless about who I am. And the thing with me is that this ain't really got nothing to do with you. It's got something to do with where God is trying to take me. Because I won't fucking cooperate. He be talking to me, he be like, man, I'm trying to help your black ass. You know, do two or three things. Because if you can get your mind right, because that's what it's about, getting your mind right. Oh, shit, I'm in the mic. I ain't getting no deeper. Huh? You want me to put that mic a little bit too deep for me? You know, maybe your speakers ain't on. But you know, I know God got a plan for me, right? I know God got a plan for me. I can, you know, it ain't like when I got here and everything was dark. It ain't dark no more. You know, I'm not in a shelter no more. You know, I know God is blessing me. God is blessing me. God, you got to understand what happens here. God blesses me and I do everything contrary to what the fuck I've been taught. That's some powerful shit. You're doing everything contrary to what you've been taught and you still be blessed. But see, what you look at as a blessing because your ass ain't had shit is kibbles and bits. It's kibbles and bits. It's nothing compared to what you can get if your ass cooperate. It's nothing. You know? And I'm on a good course, man. I got some great friends, man. You know, I celebrated my 50th birthday party. You know? Yeah, I turned 50. And I want to say that because I don't know, probably all of us had like era dudes, and I had like three or four era dudes, you know. I had the dust dude that I hung out with, you know, I had the dude that I sold loose joints with in high school, you know, I had all three or four of them dudes, right? And like they all dead. Every last one of them. We buried the last one last summer. And the meeting was across the street from where he lived. He never made it. So I know I'm blessed to be here at this thing called Narcotic Anonymous, man. You know, and at the end of the road, they say we find that we can no longer function as human beings. You have to find a new way to live. You know, it's easy to keep on with that bullshit you're doing and keep getting the kibbles and bits and the kibbles and bits and the kibbles and bits. You know, I got a lot of stuff, but they all got notes. You know, I'm tired. Listen, I'm tired of the fucking notes. You know, I like want to own some shit. You know, like, cause I'm in a great position, but if I fuck around and miss two, man, I think some of y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. You think you doing all that, fuck around and miss two. Cause you know where I live, the number come up on the TV now. You know, I be talking to my daughter like, nah, don't answer that one. You know, go ahead and get that, you know. Yeah, because they call you instantly, like you 15 days late. They calling you like, I've been paying you straight for the last fucking 6 years in a row. I'm 15 days late. All of a sudden, you want to call me. You know, and I got a lot of stuff. But I'm tired of them motherfucking notes and not owning shit and knowing that God got blessings for me, but I just won't cooperate because my mind is be focused on bullshit when I could be focused on going to the next level with my business. Because, like, I don't live in a tunnel no more. You know, I live right on the fucking mountain. Like, I'm not homeless. I'm not living in no shelter. You know, I really don't want for nothing. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I got a great family. I love my family. You know, but I still be on some bullshit. probably shouldn't have came. Because I'd be scared to come up here, man, because I'd be telling shit. You know? That's my problem. I'd be telling. Because the fucking book, I still believe in the program. I wish I didn't learn some of this shit. I'm serious. I don't know about y'all. This shit done fucked up everything I try to do. Yeah, I'm from Bed-Stuy. You ain't supposed to be thinking about shit. You know? How another motherfucker gonna feel?
Yeah.
Well, fuck, listen, you know, I be all fucked up, ain't even done shit. You know, conscience all fucked up. May come, I'm fucked up. I don't know about y'all. Every May, I be fucked up. Coats come off. Car extra clean. Riding slow. You know, that's my story. Every relationship I've been in, the room is Narcotic Anonymous, started in May. Every last one. Every last one. So I know, like, if I don't arrest my disease, I don't know what your disease is. It's about me arresting my disease. It's about me being grateful for where I'm at. You know, because you can take all this time and all these years and to put together something, right? And lose it in a moment. Because you want to feel something. Because a motherfucker smiled at you. Like what you shared at the meeting. Some dangerous shit. That's why I don't take too many motherfucking commitments. Sometimes you need to just tell the truth. Most of my problems been at these motherfucking conventions. See, a lot of speakers don't want to tell you all that shit. I do damn well when I'm at home. Get to one of these conventions doing this speaking shit and y'all smiling at me. Gets kind of difficult. That's all right. She here. I got my bodyguard with me. I brought her with me. Yeah, sometimes you got to bring them with you. They don't be mad at me for telling and shit, but it's all right. But I have to tell. Because, you know, like I said, I still believe in the literature. I still believe in that part where it say, if you expose this disease, I believe in the program. And I believe where I'm at, two or three of my motherfucking mentors done been here too. Right? But I still believe if I continue to come, continue to expose my disease, because the literature talks about the only way out. It says the only way out is to find someone who has faced your dilemma and found a way out. That's the only way out. You can't get out unless you find somebody that's been in the same situation that you've been in and ask them, like, how the fuck did you get out? But see, we be into this, I'm only going to share it with my network type shit. You know, you got something going on with you, but you want to share with two or three motherfuckers that can't help your ass, right? And you know when they can't help you because they'll say shit like, well, I ain't never been through that, but I'll listen. That's wasted breath. That's wasted breath. If the group is the most powerful vehicle for carrying the message, then don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid, like, when you get to the end of the road, because remember I told you, all of us, every last one of you motherfuckers, one of y'all gonna get to the end of the road with a bunch of clean time. And right before you get to the end of the road, you're gonna share at the meeting about how you don't do it no more. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. You're going to go to the meeting and you're going to say, yeah, I don't do that no more. I don't do her no more. I don't do him no more. Or whatever it is that fry your chicken. Right? And you're going to do it. Because if you raise your hand in here and claim that every time you do this and say I'm an addict, you might as well say I'm getting ready to fuck up. You might as well just say that. That's what the literature say. The literature say we are human, we are going to wander off course. I didn't write that shit. They say we are going to wander off course. They say we ain't going straight all the time. We're going to bear to the right. We're going to bear to the left. But what happens in here, when you find yourself bearing to the right and bearing to the left, it's up to you to come to the group and say, you know what? I'm off course. Help me get back on fucking course so I can reach my destination. And see, a lot of time, you know, believe me, I don't wanna come here and share shit. Fuck this speaking shit. Cause now I gotta go home and Teresa be like, well, why you say that? I get tired of that shit. I don't wanna say shit. You know, I don't wanna tell you I still think like the fuck I was thinking when I had 90 days. That bullshit. You can't think yourself into a better way of acting, but you can act yourself into a better way of thinking. You ever heard that bullshit? I still think like the fuck I thought when I had 90 days. Ain't shit changed in this shit about that humanness that I got. Nothing. Nothing. I just don't act out like I used to. Come to the meetings. Tell the fucking truth. No matter what. That's what it's about. Telling the truth, no matter what. Fuck how they think about you. Ain't there one of them paid the mortgage? Because sometimes I be thinking one of y'all supposed to pay the mortgage if I share good or something. But ain't none of them paid the mortgage, so it really doesn't fucking matter. You know, come on, listen, I understand. But I got a 20-year-old daughter, and I see it. She is so concerned about what a motherfucker think about her. That shit has her caught the fuck up. And I see it, man. I be like, fuck them. You know, I be looking at how long she talk on the phone. She talk on the phone. We got 4 phones. And 3 of them put together don't combine to how long she stay on the fucking phone. And I be like, what the fuck is y'all talking about? You don't got no job. You ain't in school. You ain't paying no bills. What the fuck is you talking about? You know, because listen. I'm dead serious. Like, if you ain't talking about going to school, if you ain't talking about working nowhere or, doing something for, what the fuck can you possibly be talking about all this time? And what they be talking about is people's perceptions of them. And it took me a while to keep coming back process to find out that your perception of me is not my reality. And I don't have to live my life based on what you think about me anymore. I don't give a fuck if you got big muscles and you got more money. There ain't no more pressure on me. You know, when I grew up, it was so much pressure fucking with these dudes, man. You know, I always want to press a motherfucking dude growing up. And I had to come here to find out, if you so worried about impressing the dudes, you need to take a look at your homo tendencies, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of time, yeah. Because listen, I grew up trying to press niggas. You know, I'm like, what the fuck I'm trying to press a nigga for? I should be trying to press a girl. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had to come here to find out, like, if you trying to impress a dude, you need to take a look at some shit, nigga. I ain't trying to hurt nobody. The motherfucker gonna leave out here now thinking about that one there. Yeah. Hey, motherfucker be like, damn, I gay? That's a motherfucker, man. When you come up, man, you be talking to dude, and you be talking, you know, you stand there talking to dude, and you find yourself trying to press this nigga. Like, what the fuck am I trying to press him for? Do I like this motherfucker? You know? That's just something to think about for the next meeting. You know? I'm good, man. Now, if you don't see me, I'm going to make meetings. I'm going to come. I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to get to the end of the road, know that I'm at the end of the road. Because, you know, they don't do it now, but when I used to watch movies coming up, they used to let you know when the movie was over. Because they used to flash up there, the end, you know? You know, I'm serious because, you know, I went to a play with my sponsor the other day, and we sitting there looking at each other, you know, like, is it over or what? Do we leave? Cause, you know? And you know, sometimes you be in them things, you know, them things that we be in up in here. And sometimes we need somebody to put up there, you know, the end, motherfucker, it's over, leave. Yeah, because, you know, they don't do that in the movies today. You don't even know when the fucking movie is over. You just be sitting there. No, because we want more. No, we want more. I like the old movies when they tell you the end. Get up, leave, motherfucker. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the fuck out of here. Because sometimes we be at the end and we need somebody else to let us know. The road is finished. You know? Like when you turn up in this block and it say dead end, when you get to the end, your ass gonna be dead. Nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. Can't keep going to the bitter ends. If you go on, your ass gonna die. There's no more road left. You gotta go back and find a new way to live. You gotta go back and make it right. So let's try something different. I don't hit my kids. I'm afraid to hit my kids. I'm scared to death to hit my daughter. I don't give a fuck what she do. Because they beat the shit out of me and I still smoked. I mean beat the shit out of me. My grandmother knew how to whoop a motherfucker. You know? Yeah. Stenching cords. We had one of them big ass trees outside. Be like, go out there and get me a branch off that tree right there. And I start crying as soon as I hear the leaves come off that motherfucker. Yeah. You know how the leaves come up there? I start crying right there. You know? I'm just so scared to hit them, man, because of my obsession. And from what I've learned here that it's the first one. See, that's what scares me, the first one. You know, in the beginning they say don't pick up the first drug, but after you keep coming back, it's the first one. Whatever it is that's going to take you outside of yourself. Whatever it is, it's going to make you lose every motherfucking thing. Because you're getting ready to lose everything. Yeah. That's shit you thinking. Because, you know, you from Brooklyn, you slick. Do it smoother. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're getting ready to lose everything with your dumb ass. I ain't talking about none of y'all, because I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me, because believe me, I got it. I got it made. I need to say that. I got it made from where the fuck I came from. I ain't talking about being rich and none of that other bullshit. I'm talking about the ability to cope and not cop. You know? That's all I'm talking about. Is that when it get tight, I'm gonna tell this story about one of my neighbors and then I'm gonna shut the fuck up. Right? Because I live upstate New York in Westchester. One of my neighbors, he lived like two or three houses from the Clintons. I don't know him. This is a true story. Italian dude. And they looked good. They had the nice house, picket fence, two or three kids, you know, two and a half kids, the dog. You know, he's a lawyer. And everything looked real good from the outside. But he had lost his ability to practice, the bar or some old shit, right? So he was broke, right? So told his wife, let's go to dinner. It's a true story. Took his wife to dinner. On the way home, he said, they got some cheap, because, you know, gas high. So they got some cheap gas down there. So he took her down the road, right? They married about 30 years. Took her down the road. When he got down the road, he put two in the back of his wife's head. Then he shot himself right here. And he drove to the hospital. Right? Now, 2 years prior to that, he took his wife's insurance up to $900,000 because they was broke, right? So he shot himself, go to the thing, they locked his monkey ass up, right? No, because I say that for a joke, but me and my wife sitting there watching that, and I'm, you know, about a month and a half or coming up on 2 months behind, and, you know, when you get behind in them things, man, you know, the pressure be on a motherfucker. I don't know if y'all own any shit, but fuck around and get about two behind and don't know where three coming from, right? And the pressure on, we sitting there watching this show, and I look over at my wife, right? Right? And what I say, right, thank God for Narcotic Anonymous. Because, see, he ain't had no meeting. He ain't had no meet. Got to, man, listen, this is true story. He ain't had no meeting to come to and say, like, I'm fucked up. I'm broke than a motherfucker. I lost everything, right? And I don't know what's my next move. See, I'm so glad I don't think like ordinary people. You know, if you in here, listen, if you in here, you need to know you have the ups on ordinary people, right? Yeah, right. See, he didn't know about put one foot in front of the other. He didn't know about what's in front of you today or be behind you tomorrow. He didn't know about hold on, come hell or high water. Like, he didn't know about, like, none of that. So I've been behind. And I just hold on. And I ride it out. Because even though I'm in the storm, I know it's over already. Because of you people. Because of the faith. Because of the belief. I'm no longer coming to believe. I am convinced. I don't know about y'all. I am convinced that I get up, do what I'm supposed to do, do my best, God gonna do the rest. Listen. So look, I don't know where you at. I don't know where you at in your recovery, man. I didn't share to hurt nobody. You know, I just have to always bring me to the table. If I'm not going to come and tell the truth, because it got to one time, man, I used to come and y'all used to clap. Motherfucker be in the hall, oh, he dropped it and all that other bullshit. And I got so much out of the meeting and I'm walking by and I'm saying, damn, I wish I had got something. Yeah, because listen, y'all be going home, y'all be feeling good and shit, and then I'm still in the same situation every time. This, if I blow the opportunity, this is an opportunity for growth for me. This ain't about y'all. This is an opportunity for growth for me. This is an opportunity for me to come and expose myself and allow y'all to continue to help me, because I still need help. I still need help. And I know I need help. I know I need help. And I don't want to let y'all know that I need help. I want to pretend that I don't need shit from y'all because I got two or three or something. But I still need guidance. I still need help when I'm getting ready to get outside of myself and lose every motherfucking thing. I don't be wanting to tell y'all that, man. I don't be wanting to tell y'all that. That I would throw the dice. I still would throw the dice, man. I got a personality that cries for failure. And I've seen it happen to so many, man. So many that take a risk and lose everything. So look, I was trying to keep that crying shit up out of here. So look, I don't know. I'm a good dude. I know I'm a good dude.
That's right.
The thing that scares me, I heard somebody share this. I think her name was Zaida from Philly. I heard her share this shit. She said she didn't want to die knowing that she knew better and just couldn't do better. That shit stuck with me. That shit stuck with me. Because after you come to all these motherfucking meetings, you can't claim ignorance no more. And you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable, whether you get caught or not. But see, a lot of time we think we're getting away with something. First thing to go is spirituality. It's the hardest to gain and it's the easiest to lose. Fuck all this speaking shit, man. Thanks for letting me share.